Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brooking and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, West Ham United, more than just a podcast, more than just a
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. This is more than just a podcast.
Podcast.
It is. Well, it's sort of episode. It's still season 7, so that means it's episode 40. We're in between seasons, so let's call it episode 40. Tonight, as a special one-off, we have Nigel. Where are you, and what are you doing?
I'm in my shed, trying to get the World Cup on my phone.
John, no George, but by popular demand, back is Ian Dale. Good evening, Ian. Where are you? What are you doing?
You mean popular demand by nobody whatsoever?
By one of our 7 listeners. who's got a question for you later.
I am in my sitting room in Pembury near Tunbridge Wells in my shorts. Trying to get the Russia match to come up on my screen. But was it on BBC One? It is on BBC One. Excellent.
Excellent. Right. So a little bit has happened since we last spoke. So just to remind everybody and the presenters as well, the last time we spoke, we just announced that we'd got a new manager, which, by the way, is Manuel Pellegrini. Since then, well, we've got a director of football, and his background staff, I think, are about to be announced. I'm not going to pronounce them all again because we had problems last time. But we've signed our second player today. Maybe we should go back to the first because we haven't spoken about the first and get your views on it. But the first was Ryan Fredericks from Fulham. He was a free agent, but there's no such thing as a free agent in this world. Multi-million pound signing on fees and agent fees were involved. He's earning 50 grand a week, which might upset some people like Declan Rice, but we'll talk a bit more about that later. And he signed a 4-year contract. Let's start with you, Nigel. Good signing, good first signing under Pellegrini?
You certainly hope so. He hasn't got Premier League pedigree. I think he was at Spurs, but never really played in the Premier League for him. And then it's been loan deals and lower league football, got into the Fulham team. He obviously did well for Fulham last season. They didn't seem to put up a fight to keep him. I don't know if it was a money thing or whether the deal was done already. You know, signing players without Premier League experience could be classed as a gamble. Looking back, Antonio and Creswell are two successes recently where Byram perhaps is 50-50. So I prefer to wait and see once they play and then judge once I've seen him.
Two questions before I move on to Ian. Worth 50 grand a week, and do you think he's going to get the first start in that position?
Well, if he's getting 50, is any player worth 50 grand a week? You know, when we pay doctors and nurses a lot less than...
Oh, here we go.
No,
come on.
These football fans seem to check their brains in at the door when they talk about wages. And they go, just pay him the money, just pay him the money. But they all moan when their grandmothers are stuck on trolleys.
All right. Doctors and nurses, street cleaners and everything apart, in the Premier League is 50 grand...
I think it's a lot of money for a player that's never played. Yeah, for a championship player. I think it's a lot of money. That's me personally. I do.
And do you think he'd get a start?
Well, I'd, First choice? I'd like to think he would. For that price, to be fair. I mean, if you feel Zabaleta didn't put a foot wrong last season.
Well, that's my point.
Only
yeah,
this one he, game. So,
yeah.
But at the end of the day, Zabaleta's not the future of West Ham, is it? And the quicker Fredericks gets bedded in, the better.
Yeah. Ian, what do you think of Fredericks?
Didn't know a lot about him before he signed. I suppose I knew of him, but that was about it. Looking at the videos that appear on YouTube, he does look a good player. But I've always thought Sam Barham is quite a good player. He came from Leeds. What did he cost? Was it $3.5 million, something like that?
Something like that,
Yes, he has been injured quite a lot. But I do wonder what Ryan Fredericks offers us that Sam Barham doesn't. Is he going to be a first choice, as Nigel said, with Zabaleta not having done anything wrong last season? I'm not sure. Maybe he'll spend the first bit of the season learning from Zabaleta. Who knows? But $50,000 a week for a player like that, that's quite a lot of money if he's just going to warm the bench most of the time. And fullbacks don't generally get on as subs, do they? So, but you see that there's a lot of... When you look at the signings that we either have made or we think we're going to make, there's going to be an awful lot of players who are very dissatisfied. I know we're going to talk about Declan Rice later, but... I mean, if we sign the... Well, we've signed one central defender, probably going to sign another. He's going to be a bit annoyed. So, I mean, I think Ryan Fredericks, judging by what I've seen from the videos that I've seen, looks a really good player. I'm not going to say anything else, but I do wonder if he's going to play every match.
And I think the important thing is, I mean, he wanted to come. This was a setup. You know, this deal was done back in January, right? So this is not... It's not a Pellegrini one. Pellegrini signed off on it, is my understanding, along with a number of others. But this one is a, you know, this was a David Sullivan's deal, probably picked out by the scouts under both Moyes and possibly even Sullivan Bilic before that. So it's one they've had their eye on for some time.
All of these players that we're either signing or looking at now, none of them seem to be Pellegrini players.
No. But Pellegrini's veto... We'll talk about some of this later. Pellegrini has vetoed some. So some of the ones that have been linked in the paper have just been vetoed, including, you know, Jack Wilshere and...
Is that right? Is Jack Wilshere definitely off the agenda? Because I thought he might have been back on.
Absolutely, absolutely off the agenda. Yeah. Unless there's going to be some kind of battle. But the medical teams, I know there will be people who say, but he hasn't been injured in a long time. He's not the kind of player Pellegrini's looking for. He's not the kind of player the Bull want to buy. I've asked various questions to various different people behind the scenes, and the answer comes back consistently. In fact, they've got bored of answering it. You know, oh, well, there's been another rumour about Wilshere. Is it possible you've changed your mind? And it's no. I think it's wishful thinking from his agent. He's a boyhood West Ham fan, but that's about it, I'm told. It's more from his side than from the other. Let's move on to our second exciting signing, which happened today. This was a signing that's been rumoured for a long time. It's a Diop from Toulouse, which where I was just last week. And I wasn't part of the deal. This was a deal. It's been well reported. It's 25 million euros, 22 million pounds. The deal was quite easy to put to bed, actually, despite, I mean, in January, Barcelona were after him. In the past, Real Madrid has scouted him, so have Liverpool, so have Arsenal, so have Crystal Palace, so have Everton, so have Spurs, you know, you name it, pretty much Chelsea as well, by the way, Inter Milan, you know, I could go on. They all saw him as a possibility. Now, you could say, but none of them actually went for him in the end. And West Ham have signed him. But those who follow Clarence Hugh and those who follow my Twitter will know And X was hinting at this, there was a problem. Now he signed, I think we can reveal what the problem was. And the problem was the agent wanted a rather large fee to sign this 21-year-old who hasn't got proven Premier League experience, hasn't really made for a name for himself in the international scene. He's the captain of the under-21s for France. And he wanted a rather, I'm not going to reveal the exact amount, but he wanted a rather large multi-million pound fee for the deal to be done. Now, I don't know what's happened. All I can do is report what's been reported by the French press, who are usually quite spot on with this. So we know it's a £22 million deal. It's a five-year contract, for a 21-year-old. Interestingly, and I'll say this, there was a signing-on bonus of £2.2 million. Maybe that came in at the last minute. Wages of around £67,000 a week, which is pretty massive for a 21-year-old. But we have our man. He signed. We've seen the obligatory picture of him holding the shirt today. Let's start with you, Nigel, again. What's your view of the whole malarkey of getting him signed and paying that much money for a 21-year-old, unproven?
Again, it's possible that it's a gamble, as he's got no Premier League experience. Coming from the French club, he's used to losing. So perhaps he may fit in at West Ham, even though hopefully he won't get used to losing that much. It's another one. Let's see. We can all reel off players that we've signed from abroad that have done well. And we can all reel off players that we've signed from abroad that haven't done well. If I generally think with a player like that, you probably got to give them 6 months to bed in before they pick up the pace of the Premier League. It's a lot different to French football. Maybe being a defender, it's easier than being an attacker coming from that style of football. He's going to be up against, apart from when he played Paris Saint-Germain, he weren't really up against top quality forwards, which perhaps six or seven Premier League clubs will have. So let's bid him in. You know, he's a player for the future. He's the right age. The pedigree's there with him, with his background, a French under 21. It's a lot of money. The wages is a lot of money. The only thing about it is, not sitting on the fence or looking for negative, but a signing like that can destabilise some of the existing players there. In when they look at the wages, word gets out, everybody's going to know who's earning what. And people are going to be looking at it thinking, well, what has he done for this club to get that wages, where perhaps other players may say, well, I've done more and I'm being offered less.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I've seen videos of him. He's a bit of a beast. He's a big chap. He's got the pace, which is what we're told Pellegrini is looking for. So, I get you right. He's a gamble.
He can't go. You know, apparently Marco Bugas looked world class on video. We all know how that turned out. So,
let's bring in Ian. What do you know about Diop?
Diop is, I mean, again, someone I'd never heard of, but you look at his track record, and as you say, he's captained his country at every level so far, and is tipped to get into the French main team, I think. He's 6'4", 6'5"? And we haven't had a really, really tall defender like that for quite some time, I think. So I'm looking forward to seeing him. I think he could be quite an exciting signing. He's going to certainly provide a little bit more competition at the back. And I suspect Winston Reid is maybe looking over his shoulder a bit, as well as Declan Rice. But the wages, though, you think for somebody that young, fairly inexperienced, that is a huge wage. And what is this £2.2 million signing on fee? When do you pay a player for that? When you're already paying their club £20 million or whatever? That's a bit unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, so we'll have to see on Diop. The news, we're recording probably an hour after the news has been official. We probably need to know a bit more about this guy and how he's going to fit in. So, like you guys, I think Nigel said at the beginning, you know, he's probably not going to go straight in. straight away. But you're right. Where does it leave Winston Reid? In my view, he's surplus to requirements, and they'll probably take an offer him if they can get rid. I know that sounds an awful thing to say. But also, I hear
when you say you don't think he'll go straight in. You're seriously saying we're paying £22 million for a player who isn't considered a first choice defender?
I just think, like Nigel said, can you afford in the Premier League to put someone without Premier League experience straight into the first game against Liverpool away? Is probably what I'm saying. Do you need to build him in?
Well, don't pay 20 million for him then. I mean, he's going to be there all pre-season.
But his age dictates that price, I think. He's 21 years of age. He's a player that, if he becomes the talent that a lot of people think he is, we could sell for 40 million in 2-3 years' time.
Yeah. Well, let's see. It's not up to me. It's up to Pellegrini. And Pellegrini, I'm sure, will take him away to Switzerland and make a decision and look at the training camp and whether he's ready to go in straight away against Liverpool at Anfield on whatever it is, the 18th of August or whatever the first date the game is.
11th, I think, which I have corporate hospitality tickets for that.
Have you?
Yeah, do you know, two or 3 years ago, a friend of mine's got a season ticket there, and we went up. I'd never been to Anfield before, and I was amazed at how small it was. I thought it was going to be this cracking big stadium, and they were still rebuilding one of the stands. And in the end, I got, for reasons I won't bore you with, we got into the director's box. So I was sitting there in the director's box, and Sullivan and Gold weren't there. And at half time, I got up to go and have a drink. And I heard this bloke shout out, "Ian, you've put on a bit of timber." And I looked round, I thought, cheeky sod. But actually, he was talking to Ian Rush. So made my excuse.
Well, when you said your drink, was it your favourite tipple cranberry juice? But
yeah, it was a brilliant day. It was a nil-nil. But I mean, to get a point at Anfield was always, I thought, quite impressive, and it was a really nice day actually, and the Liverpool fans really, really friendly.
Did you bump into the London Mayor Sadiq Khan?
No. You mean the Arsenal supporting Liverpool supporting Sadiq Khan?
Well, I'm sure you saw in the Freedom Information letters I managed to get between himself and Karen Brady. She offered him to come to the Liverpool game, and he admits in those letters to being partial, a Liverpool fan.
No, he is a Liverpool fan, but I remember
perhaps
during
he's just
the,
an arse.
I couldn't say that. But during the mayoral campaign, he was pictured outside the Emirates with Jeremy Corbyn, who is a genuine Arsenal supporter, with an Arsenal scarf around his neck, which I'm not sure got many votes from White Hart Lane, but there you go.
Mm. You know what politicians are like, isn't it? They'll do anything for... I mean, look at Jeremy Corbyn's tweet yesterday, wishing England luck with the wise with the wise words of the Scottish Bill Shankly. Well done.
Well, here's what about bloody Nicola Sturgeon supporting Iceland, can you believe? All the bloody money we send up there, and you'd think she could at least support England.
She's playing to the crowd, Ian, playing to the crowd. An interesting fact I'll tell you about Liverpool. I know it's not a Liverpool podcast. Very recently... West Ham and LLDC, E20 Stadium, who own the London Stadium, have been in court for many, many weeks doing something called expert determination. This is where a independent lawyer looks at the contract and is deciding things. And this has been about some really boring stuff like Sky TV in the corporate lounges, draft beer, look and feel of the stadium, all these kind of things. And they couldn't decide who to choose, both sides to choose, as an independent that they were both accept. And the person they chose was an absolute ardent and passionate Liverpool fan. True story. It wasn't really interesting story.
But our listeners they were hanging on every word.
Yeah, I know.
What a pity you don't have a tumbleweed sound effect.
I used to, and I don't anymore. Right, let's move on to our third signing, which hasn't been announced yet, but will be announced tomorrow. It's the biggest non-secret in West Ham transfer news, and it is Fabianski, who didn't play today for Poland. Against his new future-to-be teammate Chiarty, who also didn't play. Well, he played for 3 minutes.
Why did he only play for 3 minutes? He's their captain, isn't he?
I know. It was a bit bizarre. I haven't got to the bottom of that. I'm sure that's the story in that. But he's their captain. There was this, the West Ham website were making this big thing, you know, he's going to lead Senegal out, and he came on the 87th minute.
How bizarre. Well, maybe he's injured a bit.
Maybe. So, Fabianski, 7 million, 50 grand a week, 33-year-old on a 3-year contract. Pretty much admitted it already to Russian or Polish media while he's out in the World Cup and sort of said his goodbyes. going to be announced tomorrow. Let's start with you, Ian, this time. Good keeper signing to replace Joe Hart?
Well, a friend of mine who works at LBC, who's an Arsenal fan, his brother's a football agent as well. I said to him today, what did Arsenal people think of Fabianski? And they said, absolutely fabulous goalkeeper. I don't like signing players from relegated teams because there is a reason that these teams get relegated, and it is the players. Now, by all accounts, he had a reasonable season last season, but I'm slightly underwhelmed. I don't know whether they're intending to buy a top-class goalkeeper and he would then play second fiddle, which, of course, would mean Adrian would be on his way. That seems to be the rumour. But, I mean, who is that keeper going to be? Stoke want 30 to 40 million for Jack Butland. We could get possibly Tom Heaton from Burnley, who would certainly be my second choice, or even Nick Pope. But, I mean, they are all, any of those three is going to cost quite a lot of money. But I don't know. Fabianski doesn't make me moist, Sean.
I think there's other priorities than getting a top goalkeeper. I know they would have liked Buckland, but we'll talk about why possibly not in future transfer news. Nigel, does Fabianski get you moist?
No, but he's a good keeper. I think he's a good signing for a good price. Again, in the past, we've signed players from relegated teams, and possibly they've not really, you know, Freddie Picayune springs to mind, who ended up taking us down. But as a number one, there's a bit of a grey area there, isn't it? At the end of the day, is he better than Joe Hart? Looking at last season's form, probably yes, even though Swansea went down. It's a team game. You can't just blame the keeper for when the goal's flying past him.
We're about to sign one of their defenders, Alfie Mawson, by all accounts. Look, everyone says what a cracking player he is, but he was part of a defence that shipped in a huge amount of goals. Now, we've got a defence that shipped in a huge amount of goals, so you could say, well, anything might...
Well, we shipped in more goals than they did.
Yeah, I know.
So, it's... Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is if you subscribe to the next level mantra, which I don't, then obviously I think really you've got to be looking at it and thinking what is going on. But where I'm looking for stability, let's settle down another 4 or 5 years in the stadium and see what happens, then I think they're both good signings. Well, if Mawson comes off.
What do you think they've said to Fabianski there? Because I think it's a very odd move for him. If he's not being promised to be the number one, why would he come to us? Because he's 33, he's not getting any younger. So you would have thought he would want to go to a team where he was definitely going to be number one. Now, if they haven't said to him, well, actually, you're probably going to be number two, we're going to look at signing somebody else, I mean, that's going to come as a bit of a blow to him if he suddenly finds that they do sign Tom Heaton. I mean, okay, you can say great to have competition between two top-class keepers. Fantastic. But I'm not sure he's going to be very happy with that.
Well, the thing is, West Ham haven't bought or actually paid money for a keeper for about 10, 12 years for any of them. So when you look at the fact they've put £7 million down against him,
On instalments, by the way, I hear one of the delays was they were haggling over the payment terms. Wanted to pay it down.
£7 million. That's a lot of money.
It's still £7 million.
For a backup keeper.
It's £5 million plus add-ons, is I hear, but it's £7 million in total.
That's a lot of money to pay for a backup keeper.
Who's the most expensive keeper we've ever? Is it Rob Green?
No, I think it is now. Like Rob Green weren't 7 million, was he?
I don't know what he was.
No, I think Fabianski is.
I think Fabianski is the most expensive keeper we've bought.
Which is incredible when you think about it, because if you believe in building your team,
horses for courses though. Phil Parks was a world record signing,
500,000.
So back in 1979, we broke a world record signing Phil Parks. So it's horses for courses, isn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to the next signing. So following the signing today, and you know, we got a little tip off before the before the official announcement it was going to happen, using our senior sources. What we've been told today at Clarendon Hugh is that there are at least three more signings: one centre back and two attacking midfielders. We're told that they're still working on Mawson. West Ham are putting a bid in through intermediaries of 20 million. I think I'm told Swansea have lowered their initial estimates. I think there were talk of them wanting up to 40 million for Mawson, but I think they want about 23. So we're not that far apart. And I think that Pellegrini, I'm told, still wants another centre back. Again, that means something to Reid and Rice. And therefore, I do believe this deal will be sealed for about another £23 million. But the real exciting one for me, and we'll talk about that in a minute, is the two midfielders. They want, I mean, again, no secret, they want Philippe Anderson from Lazio. We all know that Javier Pastore didn't happen. He's going to Roma. They're going to pay him 170 grand a week. Incredible. But a bid went in today to Lazio, including add-ons and all other kinds of things. Totals, and I'm going to say this really clearly, £37 million sterling. That is a club record and a half. I'm going to say it again, £37 million sterling. So that is next level, isn't it, Nigel?
No. It's not.
No?
No.
Oh, what have we got to do to please you, miserable bastard?
Miserable. Hold up a minute, yeah. Next level for West Ham is breaking into the top six. When the top six teams are spending 60, 70, 80 and upwards million pounds on players, that's what you need to do. When Man City were bought by Arabs and said, we're going next level, they went out and spent 30-odd million pounds the first day the Arabs turned up, yeah, on Rubinho. Now, that's next level. Yeah? That was a statement of intent. I'm not knocking the signing. I don't know the player.
Oh, they could buy Neymar, right? If they could buy Neymar and Messi and Ronaldo, and you'd still say, well, they still haven't won anything yet.
Next level.
So, it's not next level until they win anything.
You're being facetious there, yeah? And... oh, I hope that's how you use the word, but because I'm sure that's what it's about. You're being facetious there. I'm going to use it again. See, facetious. And disingenuous.
You sure I'm not being disingenuous? Yes. Yeah.
In what you say there, because is Anderson a next level player? I don't know. I can't say I've ever seen him play. Is he? What? He's a Brazilian, isn't he?
No,
he's
so
Brazilian.
Is he in the World Cup?
He's played once for Brazil in 2015.
No.
Okay, there you go.
But he's a good player.
I've no doubt. Let's see him in the Premier League.
This is a Pellegrini choice. Right. This wasn't one that was being tracked by West Ham or scouted by David Moyes or Billich. This is
I'm buzzing over this signing. I can't wait to see him in a West Ham shirt. I think why? Because
I'm glad to hear you say that.
I've never seen him play for Lazio. I don't watch Italian football, so I don't know how good he is. I trust the judgment of Pellegrini to a point where if you look at Pellegrini's record at Manchester City, which is all I can base it on, and he did well there, but I don't know was that with players. I didn't really look at Pellegrini much to say, did he sign a lot of good players at Man City or were the best players the ones that were already there from Mancini?
Okay.
So, don't sit there and say, oh, it's a world record transfer for West Ham's greatest. Of course it is, because we've never had this much TV money given to us. Other clubs have been spending 30-odd million. Other clubs our level, like Everton, you can argue that they didn't buy quality players with it. Yeah, but they've still spent that money. I swear Swansea last season spent 30 million on a player and went down. So take your claret and blue glasses off and you kiss your ass or kiss the board's ass, whatever, off at and look at it and go, £37 million is a lot of money for West Ham to spend. I hope it's on the right player. And that's all I can say.
Okay. I'm going to bring one other player's name in and then I'm going to go to Ian. Yeah, but you can talk about both of them, Ian. So the third person, so I said the two attacking midfielders. The third one, I'm taking a little bit of a guess here, but I hear they're looking for a Lanzini replacement. If they spend 37 million, they're not going to spend that much money. I hear it's most likely to be French. Could be a loan, but most likely by Alan Saint-Maximin is his name. From Nice, can play on the right wing or the left wing or in the middle, attacking midfielder, about £20 million, should do a deal permanently or they might be able to get a loan for him. And that will be the three primary targets. So over to you, Ian. So if you can talk about Mawson, Anderson and Maximin, do you think Pellegrini is spending the money in the right way? By the way, you add all that up, that's at least £100 million, by the way. Nigel.
And they haven't bought a striker yet. Look.
And they won't. More later.
Okay. Well, I think that's very worrying if they're not going to buy a striker, but because I don't think Hernandez intends to stay. So, well, on those three, I've never heard of the last one, the French one. Never heard of him. I don't know what he does. But the last French player, midfield attacking player that we signed wasn't too bad, was he, Payet? I mean, we all know what happened, but he was somebody that really did light us up in that first season. So if we can get somebody that does that, fantastic. I would have thought that Anderson was the Lanzini replacement. I'm just looking at his Wikipedia entry here. It says, I mean, he can do all the things that Lanzini can do. Good dribbler, slender, diminutive, but long-limbed physique, it says. And he does score goals. If you look at his record for Lazio, in the last four seasons, he scored 11, 9, 5, 8. Now, that's not an easy team.
Yeah,
that's not an easy league to score goals in for a midfielder.
11,958.
Ha, ha, ha.
Who's being facetious now?
No, he's just being a prick.
Yeah.
In your dreams. Anyway.
Fucking nightmares, mate. So,
1, 2, 3, back in the room, guys.
I think Anderson is an exciting player. I've never seen him, but from everything that I read about him, I have seen a couple of videos. And okay, I know you can just dismiss what's in a video, but he does look quite a good one. Can we not find any English midfield players? I'm not being nationalistic or anything, but I do actually want West Ham to have some English players in their team. And every season that goes past, it's fewer and fewer. And there are plenty of English midfield players out there who can play.
Who would you pick?
Well,
who would you pick in that role?
Well, you see, in that role, I do think Jack Wilshere is somebody who could play well. I mean, he did a good job for Arsenal last season. We know he's got the skills. Okay, he gets injured, but name me a player that doesn't get injured at the moment. He wouldn't cost... Well, his wages might cost an awful lot.
He's a free agent, isn't he? Wilshere is a free agent.
We meet his wage demands, and if we can pay a 21-year-old central defender £67,000 a week, can we not? When we haven't got to pay £20 million transfer fee, can we not pay Jack Wilshere more than that? A proven England international, and I would go for somebody like him. Jack Grealish is obviously looking to move to a Premier League club. Now, I think his attitude is something of that we could talk about, but
Pellegrini apparently has a no-nonsense approach on that.
And that's fine. But there are English midfield players who I think could fulfil this role. I'm not saying we should just buy players because they're English, but I do think the crowd like to see a good English player playing for West Ham, and there aren't that many of them at the moment.
I think Wilshere's on about, let me just check, I think he's on about 100 grand a week.
Well, he was offered 100 to stay at Arsenal, and I think that...
Yeah, he's on 90 at the moment, actually,
I think he's actually on 130.
Yeah. Is he?
And they offered him 100, and said because of his injury record, right, they weren't going to pay more than that, and which you can understand.
Yeah.
But I suspect that, I mean, he's a West Ham fan as well, isn't he? Well, let's remember
he is.
That.
And, oh, boy,
and I do think that counts for something. I can't imagine him wanting to go to Crystal Palace. They seem to be the ones that really do want him. So I would hope they would take another look at Jack Wilshere and at least sort of give him a proper rigorous medical and try and work out if there is a real risk there.
Yeah. And a Mawson for you, is that a good... I know you said you don't like...
Well, I just automatically would never sign players from relegated sides, particularly defenders, because, I mean, we could go for Shaqiri as the attacking midfielder, I suppose, but he's another one that blows hot and cold. If he's on his game, he's absolutely brilliant, but that only happens once every four or five games, and I think we've had enough players over the years that play like that. I mean, I love players like him. I that's why I love watching Lanzini. He's players who can really excite a crowd, and every team needs one or two of those. But I just think he won't defend. I mean, you saw that the other night in the game against Brazil for Switzerland, where I mean, he was sort of reasonably effective in that game, but he doesn't track back at all. And I think with our defensive record, you've got to have players that are willing to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on to the rest of transfer news. As I said, there was talk about getting a big name keeper, but I think since they've pretty much committed nearly £100 million, I'm not sure there's any money to spend another £30 million on a Jack Buckland. So I think that it, from what I've been told, it's possible but unlikely that a big name keeper will now come in. If they get all their targets. I equally have been told consistently, time and time again, that a striker is not a priority. So when today Balotelli's come up again with Talk Sport and all the other different strikers have been linked with us, I keep being told by senior sources, no, striker's not a priority unless one of our major strikers leaves. So if Andy Carroll is sold, by the way, no bids in for him, or Hernandez is sold, then obviously things would change. But as it stands, even if Hugel goes, there would be no big name striker.
You'd have to use the money, coming in. I guess, to replace a striker. So if you actually look at Hugel, you're going to be lucky to get $6-7 million for.
7 million.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. What you're going to replace him with. Hernandez was 16 million by probably. Unless he does better at the World Cup, he's a star. You might recoup your money. You may take a short loss. He's 30, probably going to the States with his next move. Say you get 13 million. Again, what you're going to get top quality wise there? That's the problem you got. You can let him go, but you're not going to have a lot of money to replace. It could be the loan market that we need to look at there.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I think a lot depends on how Pellegrini wants to line up, because I mean, Arnautovic last season we know was a revelation. I think he did things which none of us thought he was actually capable of, playing through the centre. Now, if Pellegrini doesn't want to play him through the centre and wants to put Hernandez through the centre, I mean, is Arnautovic going to really want to go back to playing on the left or the right? I'm not sure he would.
Yeah.
There's all these rumours about Manchester United wanting him. Well, I'm not sure if they were really ever anything. But I mean, if you can get £50 or £60 million for Arnautovic, they're going to be tempted, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, 29.
Yeah, no, I mean, if we get 60 million, but I don't think they are true. In fact, I've basically been told, because we've already said Simon Byrons and Reed and Hugill and Fernandes, I've been told, all surplus to requirements. If we got bids on any of them, they would be off, okay? We can't shift any of them at the moment, I've been told, even though we're talking...
Obiang would be another one.
Obiang has been linked with... But no, they do want Obiang. Apparently, they're not keen on letting him go. He was linked with Fiorentina or one of those recently.
But I mean, if you get 20 million for Obiang, or maybe a bit more, I mean, that would be a decent profit. And I do think we've got quite a few midfield players. Josh Cullen, I think, deserves a bit more of a chance. You've got, I mean, I know they're defenders, but let's not forget Reece Oxford, Reece Burke still there. I think it's unlikely that either of them are going to stay, and either of them will actually be given a chance, which I regret. But I think Reece Oxford still wants to go back to Germany, doesn't he?
Well, that's a good link to our next section, which is a pre-season trip to Switzerland. They're staying in the 5-star hotel.
Where's the link?
The link is that Pellegrini's taking all of those players to Switzerland to check them out. So he will not sanction...
Where does that link with Reece Oxford going to Germany?
Well, it links in that Reece Oxford and the youngsters are being given a proper look by Pellegrini before he will sanction any sales or any loans out to any other club. So he's taking 6 youngsters with him to Switzerland. They're staying at the Grand Resort Ragazats. I can't say it. They're going out on the 1st of July. They're there between the 2nd and the 13th of July, playing one game close to Zurich. Now, this is who he's taking with him. So he's picked 6 youngsters. So Terry Wesley gave him a dossier and memory stick full of footage of particular youngsters and dossier. And the 6 youngsters he's chosen is Reece Oxford, Marcus Brown, Josh Pask, Nathan Holland, Martin Samuelson and Tony Martinez are all going with the first team to Switzerland. He wants to give a really close look at those 6 to decide whether they should be in the first squad, whether they should be sold or whether they should go out on loan. You'll note there that Reece Burke is not one of them in that list.
Well, Reece Burke's got to be 22, 23 now.
He ain't going to make it.
It's a shame he's a Newham boy, he's a West Ham boy. I don't think he's been given a fair crack at the whip.
That's what all the people say. That's what they said about Lee. Who was that striker that they said? And
Lee... you're thinking Oliver Lee.
No, Lee
Boyle.
Elliot Lee. Oh, yeah. Freddie Sears, Elliot Lee. You know, he was never given a proper chance. He's going to make it. He's going to be a big star. What happened to those two in
the end?
They've
just been promoted with Luton.
To where?
League One.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't given a chance, was he? So he had to drop down the league.
But if he was that good, he would just move up the leagues and he would be playing for another Premier League.
Because Luton, with Dan Potts, with Elliot Lee, with Oliver Lee, with Marich Stepp in goal, ex-West Ham.
Yeah, West Ham, all West Ham cast.
They all play for Luton, I shouldn't know that.
Yeah,
they do. Yeah, some Luton guys there. Some West Ham guys at Luton, isn't he? In the directors.
I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember it is. But you know what I'm saying, right? none of who have they let go that's really made it?
But the thing is,
Ryan.
Every
who
Ryan. He was good. Should never let him go.
Every time Reece Burke has played that I've seen for West Ham, he's actually done really well, even though they have always played him out of position. Reece Oxford, I just think he is such a skillful player. And I know there's questions over his attitude and all the rest of it. But have they really treated him properly after making that fantastic debut? Played six or seven games, didn't disappoint in any of them. I mean, okay, made the odd mistake, but then anybody at that age is going to. And then they kind of just dropped him and he was never heard of again for a season.
Well, they paid him 20. All right, so let's talk about the elephant in the room with and not Nigel, but Reece Oxford. he was paid 20 grand a week. That seems to have spoilt him. The attitude, the desire, the hunger. Many have said, look, I don't know the guy, but I've been told a lot that he's gone. And they desperately don't want to do. I know a lot has been said about Declan Rice. They don't want to make the same mistake as Declan Rice. I know some people will say he was only offered 8 grand a week. I've been told repeatedly by separate sources it was more than that. It was 15 grand a week plus another 15 grand in appearances would take it to 30 grand. Now, I know a lot of people say that's still not enough, but they don't want to spoil him. They don't want to make the same mistakes they made with Reece Oxford.
No, whereas what they're doing, Sean, is completely demotivating him. And look, I get it. We're talking about huge sums of money here. You think for a 21-year-old to be on 15 grand a week, well, he ought to be grateful for it. That's what a lot of people will think. But he was second in the Player of the Year Award, wasn't he, last season? And I think everyone wants him to be successful. I think it's a crying shame that if the shenanigans that have gone on over the last few weeks over his contract offer do end up in him leaving, I just think that would be criminal.
Well, let me just put it aside from the other side, because I think we've heard lots of friends. Funny enough, I know someone who knows Declan Rice. So my electrician at work is one of his cousins. He's Irish. Now, he probably has about 200 cousins. He shows me his mobile phone, the electrician. He goes, here's me and Declan. That's my Irish impression, by the way. And
He did it so well.
Yeah, and he will show you, you know, he showed me a picture of him and Declan. He said, you know, and this was before, to be fair, this was before even Declan started playing for us. He said, good Irish boy, good parents coming to you. So Declan, we all know, rose to stardom very quickly through injuries. He's on 3 grand a week. That's very well publicised. But what's not publicised, and sometimes you don't hear the other side, is he's already on 10 grand an appearance. So every time he played, and he played 38 times, he got another 10 grand. Now, I know in the terms of everyone else, you go, okay, so he got another 380 grand. But that's a lot more than any of the other boys in the academy on top
but
of his
free... in the academy. He's now in the first team.
Well, he is at the moment.
If he's on 3 grand a week, playing alongside, I don't know, Angelo Ogbonna, who's probably on 30 or 40 grand a week, consistently outperforming him as well, I would be pretty pissed off if I was earning a fraction of that person as well. It's not right. It doesn't matter what his age is. He's proved that he's a first-team player. Virtually every game he played in last season, he was either the player of the man of the match or second or third.
Yeah.
There's only one or two games where he did make some mistakes, but I mean, I don't think any of us blame him for those because he's only, what, is it 19?
Yeah.
You cannot. This is a case of man management, and they've proved consistently that they're not very good at that. And sometimes players, it doesn't matter that they're all on this fantastic money. They do need to feel appreciated. They do need to feel loved a bit. And I think the events of the last couple of weeks have really demotivated him from the comments that I've seen and from what you've been writing. I think it's
well.
It's
I'm going to say my last bit on this to try and put the other side. Number one. He's got a new agent who's trying to prove a name for himself and impress his client, right? I'm told that by everyone in the club who's met Declan Rice. He's a really nice guy, not argumentative. Everyone loves to be around him. He just wants to play football, right? It's not about the money for him. So I'm going to use a cliche, greedy agent, blah, blah, blah. Secondly, Pellegrini has not put his foot behind the desk, right? He's been in Chile. He's been in Spain. He doesn't get behind a desk until next Monday, the 25th of June. So everything has to be run by the manager. And if the manager hasn't been at a desk to actually sit down and say to Declan, right, let's talk about your future. Let's not just believe everything that's in the papers and how far the contract talks have gone or haven't gone. There's still time. And the third thing, and this is the most contentious, is that he was thrown into a situation, and we all know he made a number of mistakes during last season. I will ask you, with signing the two centre-backs we've signed, will he get as many games next season? The answer's probably no. And the question I'm going to ask both of you before I get shouted down is, should he go out for a season in the Championship?
No, he shouldn't. Absolutely not.
And one of the big teams, maybe even a loan to Swansea as part of the deal for Mawson, for one season?
Absolutely not, because even if he only played 20 games in the Premier League, he's going to learn far more from that than playing 40 games in the Championship, in my view. We know that he can play as a defensive midfielder as well. We haven't seen him there that often, but whenever he's done that, he's performed brilliantly. I don't want to see him go out on loan, because I think a lot of these players that go out on loan, you just never hear from them again. And I think he will learn far more from the other players if he stays around. And I'm not saying he should be an automatic first choice, although I think there is a case for that. But he, as I say, he can play in the two different positions. I'd keep him in the first team and give him as many games as possible.
Yeah. Okay. Quickly, Nigel, your view on it before we move on, because we want to talk about the World Cup and quickly go to question time. We said we'd be an half an hour one, and we're already probably going on for an hour.
I mean, my view, Declan Rice, is so many different layers to it, unfortunately, and it changes as each signing comes along. Is it right that a teenager is had money thrown at them? No, it's not right. We should learn our lessons from... We all complain about Reece Oxford going off the rails because he got his 20 grand. Therefore, you could say... Well, actually, not paying Declan 20 grand a week is the right thing. You have to draw the line somewhere. But then you've got someone who's not played any Premier League football, that's just a year older or whatever it is, that's now walked into the club, been given £2 million to sign a contract, and has been given nearly 70 grand a week. So if Declan gets paid 20 grand a week, he's earning three times less than a player who's done nothing for the club. So actually, it brings on the old mantra that a lot of players go by is, which I was told when I went through my apprenticeship was, and I did it, don't hang around at the company, you do your apprenticeship. As soon as I finish my apprenticeship, I quit, because they'll never value you. They'll always shortchange you. And that is a fact of life.
Can I just interrupt a second to tell you that I've just had a tweet from Callum Best, who I'm on the right stuff with tomorrow morning.
And what did he say?
See you tomorrow, mate.
I've got a story about Callum Best and my sister-in-law, but I can't really say it. No, I can't say it on air.
Did he shag her?
I'm not going to say it.
We all know he did now. I mean, bloody hell, if you say the words Callum Best and a female, we all know what it is. It's all he does. What else does he do?
No comment. No comment.
You'll have to ask him.
I'll DM you her name and see if...
get your back out, Callum. Let's have a look.
Right. So, let's move on to the World Cup. Well, we've all been watching the World Cup. I know Nigel has, and I know you have at least a bit, Ian.
I watched all seven games at the weekend, but all the games are timed like during the week, so I can't watch any of them. I get home at about 8:15, so I just see about the second half of the 7 o'clock one. But I did see the whole of the second half of the England game, though, and I watched the first half on my phone on the train, which actually worked.
Yeah, I bet your partner loves you at home, doesn't he? Just watching back-to-back football all weekend.
The word football in our house usually has the word bloody in front of it.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. I've just got away with what I can, but I know Nigel's a master of his own destiny, so he probably watches every single game.
I found the time when I get in from work, so that means the football's on the laptop or on the phone.
Yeah.
And then 7 o'clock, I plonk myself in front of the telly, evict everybody else. I can sod off and watch Love Island or whatever that brain dead crap is. And I can watch the football, and then after the football's finished, I get to watch it again on Match of the Day while I'm still
in. Let me talk about. So obviously we've seen Mario play in that wonderful game that was the game of the tournament so far. Hernandez played in Mexico in that wonderful game, far better than he played for West Ham. Chiarte, we didn't really see him today because he only played for 3 minutes. Fabianski was left on the bench. The one thing I've told, I've been tipped off by one of my sources, is the Mexican international from Porto, Miguel Alangan, who did very well against Germany. Our new director of football has been tracking him for a while, likes him, is impressed with him, and he's available for €5 million. So that could be a steal. So my question to you two guys, starting with you, Ian, is there anyone that you've seen that you'd like to play for West Ham beyond the obvious? I mean, let's not go Ronaldo. Or, you know, within our budget, is anyone that stood out for you?
Well, the fact that I can't think of anyone says no. No, I mean, I'm trying to think of the games that I watched at the weekend as to think any of those would. And honestly, I there's no one that has stood out where you automatically think, yeah, they would really fit in with us. I mean, you look... Well, the Portuguese team, Carvalho, who we've obviously talked about before, but I think he's off to an Italian side, isn't he?
Yeah, he's off to Inter Milan on a free. I see that ending in tears, though. I do see they're going. There being some FIFA great big argument about how he can just cancel his contract, along with the goalkeeper who's going to Wolves. So, I don't see how you can do that.
Just deviating for a second, I'm just looking on BT Sports Twitter feed, and they've got a statement from Jack Wilshere who says, "I can confirm that I will be leaving Arsenal when my contract expires at the end of June." And then he goes to explain why he's doing that and why he really wants to stay, but they've basically let him down.
And how he's a lifelong West Ham fan.
He hasn't actually mentioned that, but...
Nigel, come up with a name. Come on, come up with a name. You're now the head scout for West Ham. Who do you think we should sign?
Maguire.
Ah, do you know what? Other people have said that today.
He did have a good game. When he brought the ball out from the back, he always seemed to move the ball. He always seemed to look forward, where a lot of England players seem to look sideways and backwards. It was like a tribute match for Ray Wilkins, some of our passing in the midfield. Ray would have slotted right in with his crab-like passing. when Maguire got the ball, he seemed to want to run. He just seemed to lack that confidence, actually, when he got near the box, what to do with it, because I think sometimes he could have carried on running with it. But
I think I misjudged him in that match, because I tweeted sort of at the end of it what I thought about different players, and I just thought Maguire, he misplaced too many passes for my liking, but everyone else disagreed and said no, you really need to look at that again. And I've watched it over again, and they're absolutely right. I think you're right. He defensively, he was great in the air, and he's an absolute massive guy, isn't he? I didn't realise how big he was.
Unfortunately, you've got to feel sorry for the clubs. Leicester's a club. They'll do well to hold on to him if he keeps playing like that in the World Cup.
Yeah,
they will do.
I'll tell you what I had a problem with yesterday watching England. Number one is having to cheer so many Spurs players in one team and having to cheer Harry Kane goals just really, it leaves
wrong.
A lump in the throat.
I totally disagree with you.
Yeah, that is
I really do.
That second goal, when that cross came in, you saw it come off Maguire's head, and I saw this little player by the goal, and I thought, please let it be Harry Kane. And it was Harry Kane.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, I tell you what, and Huey may kill me for this. He was really upset when Harry Kane scored. Do you know why? because he'd had a big bet at 3-1 on the draw.
Well, he's a traitor. Tell him he's a traitor.
And he said to me, I said, come on, you wanted England to win. He said, no, I didn't. I wanted to win my bet. He said, at the end of the day, England are not going to win this thing. They're going to go out. So I might as well win a few quid on my draw. And I said, well, that's slightly not patriotic. No, really, but there's a lot of people that say club over country. And it does annoy me a bit, the Spurs thing, and it shouldn't do, because I should just get behind England.
But how would in the you second feel half, Spurs fans treated West Ham players like that? How would you feel?
Well, they probably. They probably did in 1966.
They did.
But hang on, let me finish. In the second half, we played so poorly, and I'm sitting in a room with John, right? I'm sitting in John's front room, and we've got probably about 20 people in there. They're mostly Chelsea fans. There's some Man United, Arsenal fans, etc. You know, everyone except West Ham, just me and John West Ham. And we're watching the game second half where we just couldn't finish and everything. And when me and John said to them, see, now you know what it's like to support West Ham. All the promise and everything and moving around, but yet none of the action and all the disappointment. And they went, yeah, we see what you mean now. It must be awful.
You say we played terribly in the second half. It wasn't terrible at all. It's just that we couldn't finish.
We just couldn't finish.
The Tunisians played with every man behind the ball. It's some of the best teams in the world still struggle against...
And you know, other excuses. It was hot. There were midges,
All I'm saying is when a team defends and is organised and that is their tactic, I mean, let's look at the penalty. Come on.
Yeah.
That was never a penalty.
Anyway, we need to move on. We're going to
and Rashford and Loftus-Cheek when they came on, I thought they were absolutely superb.
We're already at the hour mark, so it's time for this, which is your key, Nigel. Yes, it's Facebook Twitter question time, and this is where Nigel does far better pronunciations than I ever would with all the names. Nigel, over to you.
Yes. So, Sean posted, impromptu podcast tonight with Nigel, Sean and Ian Dow, who we will be discussing, award-winning Ian Dow, we should say, a proper award-winning, not like the Mickey Mouse stuff,
thank
aren't
you
we?
Very much.
We will be discussing our latest signings, Issa Diop. It's Adio, who sounds like he's from Star Wars. Transfer news, pre-season schedule, and a little bit about the World Cup, which you've just heard, with a West Ham slant. Questions, blah, 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 blah. So, Miriam Williams, my mate Ramolas. Also, as Doddy has mentioned, Barami, did we ever get the money for him when he left us?
No.
No. Oh, that's right. That was a big, that was a big argument, didn't it? Who did he go to?
Yep. No.
Some. He played well the other night.
Came from a Swiss
actually.
Team. Yeah. No, we didn't get the money.
He played well to Switzerland. He did his usual, kicked everyone till he got booked, and then they took him off. Alex and McFarland, evening. Pleased with the new signing as it's a position we really needed to fill. Centre of defence, only 25 years old. Let's hope this Issa Diop has a bright future. Only 25 years old. You've aged him, Alex. I think he's 21.
He's 21,
the Standard today said we have bid $7 million for Fabianski and the deal should be completed Wednesday. I think it's completed already.
It's completed already.
P.S. Nige, I am Scottish. You're sharp. Right, okay. That's good. Okaidanu. Darren Kitchen. Cheeky bid for Harry Maguire wouldn't go amiss. See, I should have read these earlier.
You read this before, yeah.
Any news on Lanzini forecasted return? Yes, 1919, around August, I think. Is Ian making a bid for the QT vacancy? Oh, are you going to replace Dimbleby?
Well, there seems to be massive demand on Twitter for me to do so from all of seven people. So, naturally, it's actually quite a lot more. I was really quite surprised. But they will appoint a woman. I can guarantee you that. And I mean, I wouldn't say chance, right? I mean, I'd love to do it, obviously, but I also think, having been on it a couple of months ago, I don't think they'd pick somebody who's been a panelist.
What, Kirsty?
Who would they choose?
Kirsty Walt seems to be the favourite. I think Emily Maitlis would be my choice if I was
going
to pick a woman. I think,
no, too soft.
No, you've got to have somebody who's got a good sense of humour, and she certainly has, and she would hold them to account. Victoria Derbyshire, Kirsty Young, I think they're both in for it. But
all middle class. You need a bit of working class patter on there, I think. Shut up, you. Next. Yeah, no, your question's crap. Next. It's an easy job to do, to be fair.
Shouldn't they get someone, I don't know, Alistair Campbell or something?
I'm very friendly with Alistair, but I don't think you could have Alistair Campbell presenting a panel show like that. It would be fun.
Donald Trump. Donald Trump would be hilarious.
Piers Morgan would be a bloody
anyway,
good choice. I'll tell you what. I think
Piers Morgan.
I have, as Nigel knows, I appear on Good Morning Britain with increasing regularity. He did send
the clip.
When I was choking on his
spotted dick.
Yeah. No one else can have seen that because it was like 6 o'clock in the morning or something.
That's what I thought, because I always used to turn down going on Good Morning Britain because I thought, who ever watches television at 6 o'clock in the morning? You would be astonished at the feedback I get.
Housewives.
It is Housewives. It's normal people watch that programme, whereas, of course, everybody in politics thinks that they always should be listening to the Today programme or watching the Daily Politics or whatever. It's normal people watch Good Morning Britain. And Piers Morgan and Susanna Reid are absolutely brilliant at that. Richard Madeley, however, when I was on the other week, I didn't like very much.
I did a
podcast the other day called Desert Island Dicks, where you have to say all the things that you hate, and he was one of the people that I chose to hate.
So that'd be a good West Ham one.
Yeah.
Moving on, Nigel. Let's not digress too much.
Lewis,
there you go. You can do that, Nigel.
Lewis Ehrentrap, good to have you back, guys. The last Diop we had was known as the Wardrobe. Oh, yeah, Papa Duper, or whatever his name was.
Yeah, Papa Diop.
Was known as the Wardrobe, so let's hope he's the same. Flappy Hansky.
is Flappy Hansky, a very funny.
The most exciting goalkeeper signing, but he is decent nonetheless. I see West Ham Rambles, hashtag Twitter, have been slagging Sean off this week. I've stuck up for him, as their claims are false. What have they said then, Sean? They said...
Funny you should talk about Alistair Campbell, because they accused me of being the Alistair Campbell of the West Ham world, which I'll take as a compliment. I like Alistair Campbell. They say I'm a spin doctor for Sullivan, and that everything I'm doing on Twitter and on Clarence and Hugh is just spinning for Sullivan and Gold, as they call them, the comms, to get, you know, oh, we went for Pastore, but we didn't quite get there, and everything else. So there's a small number of people, you know who you are, who constantly go after me. I'm sure you know this feeling, Ian, on social media, where they just go after you, and they're like constant trolls. I just
have to mention Brexit.
It's just
Walter off the dock's back. And Lewis stood up for me. I don't ask people to stand up for me, but he stood up for me and asked them to listen to the podcast. So there you go. So thanks, Lewis. So,
well done, Lou. Checks in the post.
He said, listen to the podcast. He's not as sycophantic as you think he is about the board.
No. That's what he says in public. You should see him in private. Dave said this and Dave said that. And anyway, let's hope the signings keep coming, lads. And thanks for the podding. Nice to have Nigel as a Facebook friend too. You're welcome. If you like me and you know where I am on Facebook, feel free to add me. And I too will be.
You add anyone, friend. Okay.
Nick Harvey. I've decided not to worry or get excited about transfers. Well done, Nicholas. Another sane person. And just see what we have a squad come August. Still some key positions to be filled, but let's trust Pellegrini. World Cup has been enjoyable so far. Some good games. No teams really stand out. Could be one of about six teams who lift the trophy. Nice to have an impromptu episode 2 podcast. This is rather short at this time of year. Well, you could always try the other West Ham podcast. Otherwise known as that Stop Hammer Time, who I believe are podcasting. There is another one, but I can't think of it.
Or West Ham Way, or the American podcast.
Yeah, the American
Don't podcast, Start.
I've heard he's rather good. Well, I've not heard, because I do listen to it. I do listen to all the podcasts.
Good. I'm glad. Move on. By the way, it's not called Silly Season for the reason. And people get really upset when we're writing stories. I'm tweeting stuff out and really take it too seriously when I'm hinting and everything. If you don't like it, don't read it or don't follow me. It's just entertainment. Silly Season, the whole rumour, counter-rumour, another rumour, fully changing. It's all part of the entertainment of the transfer
without
window.
Going off, can I just point out what a stupid thing you just said? If you don't like it, don't read it. How do you know you're not going to like it until you've read it?
I don't know. But we've lost Ian again.
Oh, fuck.
Anyway, carry on.
Simon Pope. Will the new man step straight in and play centre-back? Does this mean the end of Reed?
Well, we discussed this earlier, possibly. Didn't we? And it probably does mean the end of Reed.
Chris Hooper. Blimey, there's a lot of people commenting tonight, isn't it? The signing of Diop means nice. Oh, sorry, Rice. My eyes are shot to pieces. I'll start again. Sorry, Chris. The signing of Diop means Rice will be our holding midfield player, a position that is desperately needed. No place for Noble now. That's not a bad shout, actually. We didn't really talk about that, did we? Pushing Declan forward into centre mid. It could be our Kante.
Yeah, no, obviously he's played there for Ireland. So
it could be his future. Ben Ashelford, do we know what's happening with Rice? Hoping we find the balance of giving him and what he deserves, but not doing an Oxford also.
Yeah. Well, I think we talked about Rice quite a lot tonight, so I hope we've covered it. He is unhappy. There is a lot of
agency. We need to know, does he have an uncle called Ben, though? So that's...
Why, who's asking that?
Well, me. I'd like to know. Has he got an uncle called Ben?
Why do you want to know that?
Oh, Uncle Ben's Rice.
Oh, right. Okay, I was going to say, I nearly fell for that, because I nearly said, I'll ask my electrician next time I see him.
Yeah, you do that. Has he got an uncle
Have you got
Ben?
An uncle... Has Declan got an Uncle Ben?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have made me look really silly.
Yeah, it would have done. And a cousin Vesta. Anyway, hi, boys. Oh, Richard Dodds, Doddsy. Hi, boys. Good to see a podcast back where you surprised like me to see Barami still playing. I thought he retired years ago. I think he's about 33.
Yeah. There's a few old ones, isn't there, in the World Cup. I mean, yeah. I was surprised to see Font to... In Portugal as well.
He did well, didn't they? They only conceded three. Yeah. But he was still doing a good job with Switzerland. Also, what do you think to going with a formation of 4-2-3-1 formation with the little Mexican as the front man and Arnie, Antonio and Lanzini behind? Well, you won't see Lanzini again this season. If all fit or here.
I don't know. I'm going to leave it.
And last but not least.
I'm going to leave it to...
Whatever happened.
Pellegrini.
Go on. All right. Last but not least, what happened to all the protests? And as asked before, what do you think is the way forward to me? The Dildo brothers seem to have got away with it, and she still is on the board doing her son shiite.
Oh, aren't we all past that? Isn't it water under the bridge now?
No.
We haven't got enough time to discuss that tonight.
That's for during the season, but... But at the end of the day, don't matter what they do, they still need to consider their position. Marion's back again, or perhaps he posted this first, the second one was the second. Do you think we should try push the boat out and try and buy the bloke Hernandez who plays for Mexico? Looks a far better player than our Mexican bench warmer. Also, am I the only one who would be glad to see Antonio leave?
I think they've said they want to keep Antonio now, and Pellegrini does.
Well, with a new manager, it's everybody gets a clean book, don't they? You forget about what he did last season.
Yeah,
it's the behind the scenes tantrums, possibly, allegedly, and see what he does. As for Hernandez, it was funny. He did look rather good up front on his own, even though he didn't score the goal. he played, you know, he was the definite assist. It does make you wonder. The only problem about playing him up front there through the middle for me is if it pushes Arnautovic out.
Yeah.
Because Arnautovic did all his best work playing down the middle, and I think that is a problem.
So I think that's it. We're going to say goodbye from Ian because he's had a technical problem and dropped off from Tunbridge Wells. So it's goodbye from Ian. Goodbye. It's goodbye from Nigel.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me. Goodbye. Come on, you Irons. That is the wrong jingle to go out on, isn't it? It's this one.
You've done it wrong again. That's because we trust you. Bobby Moore,
more than just a podcast. This is the right one.
See, it's more professional, not like the other one. More than just a
podcast. Be bright in the final mix.
Yeah.
Come on, you Irons. Bye.
Come on, George, sort it out. Earn your money.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.